Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
State the purpose of your visit here.
We have sent down what we call an away team to make peaceful contact here.
Do you plan to leave life forms here?
No. We are merely visiting here.
But you did more at the world you just left. Why have you left your own life forms there?
The colony we just planted, sir.
We found that world uninhabited. The life forms we left there had sought the challenge, at least that is the basic reason, had sought the challenge of creating a new lifestyle, a new society there. Life on our world is driven to protect itself by seeding itself as widely as possible.
Do not interfere with my children below.
Okay.
That's it, Toynbee. You're ready to go.
Yeah, whatever.
Ready to go. Oh, yes, I got to push buttons here.
You okay, don't got to do
push
shit.
Buttons.
Okay.
Push right. my buttons is what you mean.
No, I got to push the button.
My buttons. Are you guys ready to push my buttons this episode?
No.
You ready to push my buttons?
No, I pushed the button that starts the clock.
You guys ready to piss me off
the
somehow?
The clock has started, Dan.
You guys ready to fuck my shit up and make me
podcast has started.
Feel unimportant and insignificant?
Look, okay, to
it's
the audience.
Got Dan's stuff.
To the audience, don't be thrown off here. Dan had a bad interaction with the tax preparation software. He's put him
I don't want to talk about it.
He doesn't want to talk about it. He's just put him in a foul mood.
He was going off about it, and then I wasn't paying
so Jesse and I, we've got to get Dan in a better mood. And what better way
I'm
to get into a better
I'm
mood?
I'm start pushing his buttons.
All right, well, maybe Jesse has a different agenda than I.
Yeah.
I was going into this thing like, let's get Dan into a good mood by discussing a hilarious episode of Star Trek TNG.
Yeah.
With a bunch of scantily clad people.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a silly.
I'll be so happy.
Yeah. All right. But in order to do that, we've got to start the podcast properly.
Right.
So
at least make an effort.
I will say the number of the podcast, which is episode 292.
Whoa.
Of what?
Of It's Got Star Trek.
Wait, wait.
We're getting
there was no proper introduction. You never made a proper introduction.
What do you mean? Did I say welcome?
No, you never said that.
Oh.
Hello.
Hello. You mean like that?
Yeah, like a whole like.
My name
a whole
is
intro.
Dan.
You always do the same intro this week and you just didn't do one this week.
What am I supposed to do? I said the number. I haven't said the title of the episode we're discussing.
But you didn't actually welcome anyone.
Well, okay, well, welcome.
Hey,
yeah.
Dan.
Hey, welcome everybody.
Hey, Dan.
Am I welcoming the audience or am I welcoming
what
you?
Doing?
Welcome, Dan.
To what?
To the It's Got Star Trek podcast. I know I said
and
the title.
And I welcome this.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
I get you.
Everyone just walks all over my sound.
Jesse.
It's already begun. It's already begun.
I get it. So
it's already begun.
This was my error.
No, like.
Because
that's,
I didn't realize what you were doing.
No, Patrick.
And that's on my. That is on me.
That way it was. That was surmountable. But then you said it and I pressed it and then everyone just kept talking. Everyone just kept talking.
Okay.
That was the problem.
How about this? Now that we know what's happening.
God, this is set the tone.
You were coyly trying to set me up to set you up.
Yeah.
I think we're done now. We should just stop.
Your little sound effect.
Yeah, my little sound effect.
Little cute little sound effect. I get
There's
it.
Danny clips.
Dan curates these sound
effects.
It's
the same shit every week. It's the same shit. We say, welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Are you sure it's the same every week?
I get what he's saying now. Yeah, there are certain components.
Oh, my God. And I can't even start.
There are certain components that are
pretty
regular.
I can't even finish
what I'm saying. Correspondence.
I can't even finish what I'm saying.
We
this
do
is
have
how
an email,
beginning.
But we'll get to the email after
this is
we
how,
get this.
Okay, every week it always begins with, welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast, and after which I play the sound. Oh, my God. Seriously. Please don't do this to me this week.
All right,
I don't think I can take it.
All right.
Just like, I just want to finish a sentence.
He's gonna finish the sentence. I just
want people to not try to try to figure out what I'm saying before I say it. I don't want people to like interject with some like while I'm saying something. I just want to say something.
We're gonna
and
do
have,
our best.
And have said it.
We're gonna do our best here. All right. So the plan is, I'm gonna do that thing that you talk about, Dan. Then you're gonna play.
It's not fun anymore.
Then I know it's not fun. It's not fun for you, me, or the audience. It might be a little fun for Jesse. It seems like it's still a little fun for him. But I will say the thing, and then you'll play the sound, mm-hmm. and the requirements will have been met. Maybe it, not in a satisfactory way, but they will have been met, and we may move on.
Future perfect.
All right. Hello.
Hello.
And welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
And I welcome this huge one.
There, we did it.
Mm-hmm. Huge one. Nice planet.
See, it was a good one, too.
That was a good one. Yeah. I imagined this week that there are going to be many good ones.
Good ones.
Good ones. Okay.
Oh, yes. Of course.
Okay. Yes. If you haven't guessed already, and if you haven't read the title of the podcast when you click download or clicked on the YouTube link or whatever, however you got to this.
However
this
you do your fucking bullshit. That you do.
However you came to enjoy this week's podcast, we are talking about Star Trek TNG's Justice.
We did not ask you to come here.
Well, we did with marketing.
Damn, dude.
We do have.
Shall we go there now, or remain and play?
We have a great deal of marketing that explicitly asks potential audience members and even previous audience members to come listen.
Play.
The pronunciation of play is
play.
Is great.
Play.
Yeah, that might have to go into the keep it.
The keepers.
The keepers.
The keeper
even though I don't know exactly when you would use it.
Bolana's on it.
But yeah. it is pretty good. Okay, so yes, we will be discussing Justice.
Yes.
In today's
episode.
We will
be eventually.
Exactly. Oh, exactly. Wow.
Exactly.
I mean, right away we will be discussing Justice. But first. We have an email.
From whom?
Almost time.
We have an email from Isaac from Trek 365.
All right.
Or Trek 365.
That is extraordinary.
Depending on which hemisphere you're in. Mm-hmm. Trek 365, everyone should be tuning in.
He's in that other hemisphere.
We contribute to this from time to time. Number of other podcast luminaries in the Star Trek podcast universe contribute to this daily podcast.
Exactly.
You should check it out. Promptly, forthwith.
Exactly.
And probably. Isaac writes, "Hello, nerds."
Nah.
Imagine this in a Tasmanian accent, by the way.
I can't do it.
Because Isaac hails from Tasmania.
They certainly are.
He's a jam eater.
I think they have. Yeah, he's a jam eater from Tasmania, which we learned long ago, according to Wikipedia, is a slang term to refer to Tasmanians. Apparently, it's not something that people know about in Tasmania.
Yeah.
I have no choice but to learn about that thing from her.
Yeah, indeed. So, again, Isaac is from Tasmania. I believe they have, 31 political parties? 33?
This is something I've never seen before, sir.
So, Isaac says...
Kangaroo party.
Isaac says...
Man, come on, Jesse. You're better than that.
Jellyfish party.
Jesse, yeah. Try not the old stereotypes. Mm-hmm. They do have a lot of kangaroos in mainland Australia. I don't believe they have any kangaroos in Tasmania. They do have Tasmanian devils.
They've got the Tasmanian devil party.
And Isaac says, "Hello, nerds."
Hi.
Hi.
It's Isaac from Trek 365 here. I'm so excited that you're about to review Justice.
All right.
If I was going on an alien planet, this is what I'd expect. A hot people-only planet that jog everywhere in outfits that are perfect. Now that we've talked about the word dingus... Oh, wait. No. Sorry. I read that wrong.
Did you read the sentence wrong, or did you skip some lines?
I read the sentence wrong.
You put the wrong emphasis on the word libels?
I went into the sentence with the wrong cadence.
I need help, my friend.
The cadence I chose for this particular sentence was all wrong. Okay, we start back over.
It is God who will punish you.
Isaac says, now we've talked about the word dingus before.
Yeah.
Isaac is referencing prior emails and voicemail.
Yeah.
So he says, now we've talked about the word dingus before.
Now doubly so.
Wesley telling the adults he's too young to party is some fine evidence of dingus behavior. And I agree, we'll talk about that.
Evidence!
dingus!
In fact, he may be a dingus. Oh, no, he may be a thingus.
A thingus.
That's new workshopping that. Prime directive was clear here and should have ruled over plot armor. You fuck with the Azaleas, you deserve the death penalty. Then Alexander, who could have done bridge duty or no duty? Oh, bridge duty or no duty. Again, I'm having trouble with the cadence here.
You're having a lot of trouble.
Then Alexander could have done bridge duty or no duty.
Alexander?
Alexander Worf's son.
Yeah, what Alexander. Is, wait, what does Alexander Worf's son have
all right,
to do with
so
this
episode?
So what
Isaac is saying here is
wait,
that
I'm confused.
Isaac is saying that Wesley should have been executed. Okay. And then that would have given room for Alexander to have done bridge duty. And then he's tacked onto that duty or no duty.
I see.
You see, because we have a regular feature called duty or no duty. Yeah. By the way, is there a duty or no duty this week, Dan?
No, not this week.
No duty or no duty.
It is not a glitch or any other form of error or malfunction.
Because this fellow usually gives us a voicemail.
Yeah. Oh, no, but sometimes it's an email. As
sometimes.
Is
interesting,
it's
sir.
It's usually a voicemail.
It could be that he's been replaced by some sort of robot creature.
No.
And if he were to voicemail us, we would immediately recognize that he had been exchanged for a doppelganger.
That's
what has happened?
I hope that's not
all right. The email continues, I can't wait to hear this episode, as there's so much for you guys to riff on. Stop reading this email, hit where would I stay, and get on it.
I know, right?
Or don't. Love you, Isaac.
We're dangerous.
Oh, shit.
Where would I stay?
There we go.
It wasn't supposed to be there.
Okay.
We're dangerous.
All right, so what's extra funny is before the podcast, I didn't tell Dan about the email, but I did say we would need the where would I stay.
Yeah.
Right? And then he didn't acknowledge me, although I think he heard me, but he didn't acknowledge
me
because pre-podcast Dan was doing this whole, like, I'm not going to acknowledge Patrick.
I was busy with something.
Well, he was
admittedly
busy.
That's what he does every time, every week.
I was busy being mad.
Okay.
You know,
he puts on his mad headphones.
But the problem is like, it wasn't, the button wasn't where I thought I put it. It was like the weird dangerous button was supposed to be under the right, but it was on the left, and it should have been on the right.
Nobody understands what you're talking about.
The weird dangerous.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
You don't get it.
I don't get it.
And where would I stay?
Where would I stay?
There we go.
Not jokingly.
I'm not jokingly.
Yeah, I like the
sweet
weird
butts,
the,
and I cannot lie.
The weird dangerous from the from Detained, from Enterprise's Detained. That's one of my favorite quotes ever.
Yeah.
The way the actor read that line.
He kind of sounds like some kind of like one of those kids you know in school that's kind of a dingus who thinks they're like thinks they're tough shit, and they walk around and they're like, they think they're hot shit.
There's always
and they think
like
they're dangerous.
They think they're, and they're just like, yeah, we're dangerous, dude. Yeah, dude. Yeah. Hey, dude. Yeah, we're cool, man. Yeah.
Like veering on the old Cartman.
That's not like at all like Cartman.
There's usually a couple of people.
See,
it's not always like a ton of people.
Cartman is more like, hey guys, I'm Cartman.
Yeah, it's a veering towards,
but no,
verging
towards. But it's more like, hey dude, yeah, dude. Yeah, dude. Oh, man. You know what, dude? You better watch out because
we're dangerous.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
That's a good one.
Yikes.
Well, thanks, Dan. You've determined that the little indicator that shows whether or not we're peaking works very well.
Peaking.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Isaac. As always.
I didn't take no LSD. I'm not peaking. I didn't take no mushrooms.
Is that a line from a song, or is that just sort of some extemporaneous
stuff? It's a line from a song that has not been written
stuff.
Yet.
You said peaking, so I started thinking about, like, tripping.
Like peaking on a trip?
Yeah.
On a psychedelic trip?
Yeah.
Where it's sort of like an asymptote?
With mushrooms?
An asymptote. Get it? An asymptote? Guess it? Get it?
Yeah, Dan, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
He gets it.
All right, so let's follow Isaac's suggestion and start talking about the episode, Justice.
Sure.
Justice.
All right.
This episode is about saving the children. It's because it's about saving Beverly's son, Wesley, and the Edo god's son of the Edo people.
I hadn't.
Or kid, rather.
That
son and daughter. Kids. I should say children. Saving the children.
Well
all the Edo are the children.
Are the children, not
of,
a son.
Of the, did we get the name of the.
I don't think there's a name.
The interdimensional alien people.
No, they're just, well, what's confusing is they refer to the people as the Edo, but then I feel like they also refer to the god as the Edo at the same time.
No, they said the Edo god. They referred to the Edo god, the god of the Edo.
But if you look at IMDb, I think that the actor is...
IMDb's nuts.
Yes, IMDb's nuts. I don't know. I don't know what the Edo god's, who's... Okay.
You mean the voice actor of the orb?
The orb.
There's a lot going on in this episode.
Yeah.
There's naked people. There's bouncing around, getting orbs.
In IMDb, it says Stephen Craig is uncredited, but he's it's said that he played quote unquote Edo. And also on Chakotay, they also refer to the god as Edo. I'm not saying that's correct, but that's the closest thing we've got to a name. I'm okay with Edo god. That makes more sense to me.
I'm just going by the dialogue in the episode.
Yeah, that's what I'm going by too, man.
All right, so we're
simpatico.
There is a lot going on with this episode. Like, you know, there's all the... You know, it's not a bad episode. It's kind of silly.
It's just silly.
It's just silly, but like, there's some good points in there, here and there.
It's old school.
It's a classic episode.
It's old school.
Especially for a season one. As far as season one episodes go, I'd say it's one of the episodes. It's got efficacy. I'd say it's on the better side of a season one episode.
I fully agree.
It's just a silly, it's very silly.
What I enjoy about it, and what I think often gets missed in later Star Trek, even later Star Trek that I, on the whole, like better, significantly better even, is it's where they take the extremes. And TOS did this a lot. TNG did it a little bit here at the beginning and then started drifting away from it. And then Deep Space Nine and other stuff either got more muddied or more sophisticated and more gray area.
Maybe I should just go on ahead.
You could tell this exact story without the death penalty, but of course the death penalty makes it way more interesting. Like, what if it was he's got to cut off a finger or he's got to go to jail for like 6 months? Now, exact same moral things could be discussed. It's just everything's hyped up to 11 because it's involving the death of a young boy.
And I wasn't entirely convinced of like the effectiveness of their laws because people don't break rules in the clearly marked forbidden zones. That means that means they also don't break laws outside of those zones. Like how does this prevent
I don't know that they're clearly marked.
Well, it said they're marked because at one point when Wesley
because I didn't see any markings. I saw the guy says the fence, but the fence is not a reference to a punishment.
That was not a fence.
First of all, it wasn't a fucking fence. For real, Jesse.
Okay, it says
the fence just marked out.
Okay, no. They
don't have any lawyers.
No, here it goes. Tasha says they're talking about this law. Then the crew just found out even a small thing such as ignoring the rules, like keep off the grass, which Wesley basically, that's the rule he basically fucked up. And so many, I mean, it was flowers, but whatever. Reven says that no one breaks that rule. Who wants to risk execution? And there's always a white wall or fence to remind anyone of a forbidden area like that. And then later when Wesley falls into the thing, that kid goes, couldn't you see the fence? It's for new plants. So yes,
because you know, like when you visit a planet, the first thing they should do is be like, hey, like, watch out for the white fucking fence.
Tasha really dropped the ball.
Very important thing here. I think you've conflated two things because yes, there's the forbidden stuff. There's stuff that you can't do that's a problem. But what they said is that the enforcement zone is what changes and is random. Well, okay. And nobody knows what the enforcement zone is.
No, I know. And that's fine. That's fine. You don't know. But like outside of the like zones, how does not, you have zones that are danger zones. So what if you're outside of that zone, that means that you'll never be caught for anything.
Okay. I have no problem with that because that's not the implication. That's one area. That's one thing. There's other laws. Don't murder people. Don't rape people.
You can sit there and oil some dude up.
But
the rule is if you're in a forbidden zone and that zone is active, you get murdered and there's always a white wall or fence. This is straight from the fucking episode. You can't disagree with what's in the episode.
I can because I think you've just grossly misinterpreted.
No, I haven't. The line is right here.
Give me an opportunity.
Can I finish?
My interpretation? My interpretation is all the laws, all the rules exist all over. In some cases, there's like, keep off the grass. Don't go in the fresh flowers. Those are specific. That's like just demarcating some stuff. But then other laws or whatever also exist everywhere. It's that the enforcement zones shift around, and that's what you don't know.
Yeah,
because the only way this law, principle makes sense is that you don't know when somebody's actually watching. It's the panopticon effect.
But I get that part. That part makes sense. That's not the problem I have. The problem I have is if there are enforcement zones, that means there are places that are not enforcement zones.
Yeah. Yes, but you don't know when that is.
Everywhere.
That has nothing to do with the white fence.
No,
the white fence is not about the enforcement zone.
No one breaks that rule. Who wants to risk execution? And there's always a white wall or fence to remind anyone of a forbidden area like that. That's of, right
of
in the words.
Of a forbidden area. That's not an enforcement zone.
Yeah, what else could it be? It's no, a forbidden
that's
area.
That's just one law. Don't you get it? There's multiple things
no,
you can't do.
It says,
don't kill people. Don't steal. Don't says, walk on the in the forbidden
Worf
zone.
Says, anyone who commits any crime in the punishment zone dies. And Riven says, and there's always a that's white wall a or fence zone. To remind anyone of a forbidden area like yeah, that.
A forbidden area is not the same as a punishment zone.
Yes, it is.
Zone.
It's in the same fucking nope. talk. Nope. Okay, Worf says,
totally disagree.
Anyone who wants, I'm going to read, Worf says, anyone who commits any crime in the punishment zone dies. Leotor goes, the law is the law. Our peace is built on that. Tasha says, even a small thing, such as ignoring the rule, keep off the grass. Riven says that no one breaks that rule. Who wants to risk execution? And there's always a white wall or fence to remind anyone of a forbidden area like that. Yeah. I don't see how you could interpret that any different. What Riven and Worf are talking about.
It's very clear to me. It's very clear Riven there's a difference between a forbidden zone versus the enforcement punishment zone.
It's the same conversation nope. Worf is having with Riven about.
Yep. It's a separate thing.
No, it's not.
It is.
You're just being a dick.
With you.
You're just being a dick.
We're
going
to get emails, feedback at itsgotstartrek.com.
You're just fucking with me now.
I'm not fucking with you. I honestly, sincerely believe this. Otherwise, I would drop it.
Why
because
would,
it's not entertaining.
Why would five lines apart, Worf and Riven suddenly be talking about two separate concepts? Worf talks about...
Overlapping concepts.
He's
because
like...
Because you can break a rule in a number of different ways. One of the ways you can break a rule is by trespassing in an area you're not supposed to be. That is one crime. And if you happen to commit that one crime in a punishment zone, when it's a punishment zone... Then yes.
I'm going to summarize what it says.
You don't need to, because
says,
I get it.
Worf says, anyone who commits a crime here dies, and Tasha's like, even if it's bullshit, and then Riven's like, don't worry, there's a white wall or fence to remind you of a forbidden area like that. That's what
not
the conversation
of a, yeah,
is.
Not to remind you of an enforcement zone of that day. It's because it's, the kids weren't worried until they saw that it was enforcement zone day. They knew he had gone into an
dudes showed up.
A bad thing.
Yeah, but,
that,
like, no,
oh,
but that's
the
whole concept. That's the whole concept of where they change daily. But the white walls tell you the potential zones.
Yeah, but I'm saying that white wall was not moved later in that
no,
day.
No, I know it
because
wasn't moved.
Like, because
no,
it's
I
still,
know.
You're still not allowed to touch
no,
the grass.
I know it wasn't moved.
It's just that you won't get in trouble for it that day.
I know it wasn't moved. I'm saying all the potential zones for all the potential enforcement zones are marked by a white wall, and you don't know which one it's going to be.
Okay,
which implies that there are zones that aren't marked by white walls
we
that have nothing to do with that.
We disagree. We're not going to resolve it. The audience can.
But in all zones,
basically, you can murder people as long as you aren't in a forbidden zone, and it's
yes, but you wouldn't because.
Because
you don't know, when
but
you're
you
in
do. Well, you don't know zone. Among the set of forbidden zones, you don't know which one is active. But outside of those set of forbidden yeah,
forbidden
zones,
zone, it has nothing to do with the punishment
that the,
zone.
You're saying the whole. It's the same thing. It's
no,
one,
it
yes,
is well, not.
Well, okay, the punishment zone exists.
It's just different.
A punishment zone exists inside of a forbidden zone.
A punishment zone is an overlay, totally separate. That's like where those guys are hovering about. Forbidden zones
the
exist.
Like, there would be like
all the time.
No, there would be a bunch of forbidden zones and maybe a few punishment zones that alternate among the forbidden zones. Yeah. But outside of that whole concept, there's a
how many forbidden zones do you have?
Outside of that, there's a whole world of non-forbidden zones.
Yeah. It all makes perfect sense to me. I still think it's
a silly
system.
It doesn't make sense to me because I'm interpreting it how they're saying. You're just making up your own sort of idea of what they're saying. You're making up something that makes sense to you. Of course it makes sense because you're making it up. You're making up what makes sense to you.
All right.
So
did you notice like Jesse's just blown his nose everywhere?
Finish it later, please.
There was I must have read this wrong. I admit I didn't rewind it at the beginning when they were showing credits, you know, after the opening credits, and they show the actors. It looked like one of the actors' name was Brenda Bukkake. but that can't possibly be correct.
No, I don't think so.
Jesse's having an attack. See, Dan,
see what we've done.
Our disagreement, Jesse.
Oh my gosh.
Always has like one of those sneezing attacks. Like, what is this? Is this congenital?
They are quite fragile, sir.
Oh my gosh.
It's amazing.
10 sneezes.
How do you sneeze so many times in a row?
I don't know.
All right.
It's so, like, do you get a sneeze particle stuck, like, lodged in your nose somewhere that you have to sneeze out?
Sneeze particle.
Sneeze particle.
Okay, so...
What of justice?
Probably not Brenda Bukkake, but... but we can look it up.
The thing is I can't be annoyed with Jesse for sneezing. That's not something that... I can only feel pity for Jesse.
You're my brother.
You're my brother. If I wouldn't feel pity for him though if he was Miranda Jones, because she wouldn't want my pity.
Oh, are you talking about last week's episode? Yeah.
But because it's Jesse Knight, he Miranda gets my pity. Jones.
Is there in truth Give no beauty?
Is there in beauty no?
Did we ever decide? Is there in truth no beauty? What the answer to that question is?
No.
Is there in truth no beauty?
No.
I think everything can be beautiful. So I think there is beauty.
There we go. There we go.
Oh, man.
There you go.
It's a sickness.
Feel better, buddy?
Yes. It's literally a sickness. Oh, my God. Okay. Yes.
No. No.
The answer is
no.
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 Yes, there's beauty. Okay. All right. Sex people. My note
sex
just
people.
Says sex people. Okay, yes. So we...
But
it's not Brenda Bukkake, but whoever it is, we're introduced as a planet of sexy,
okay,
and fun
people. The reason they're going to the sex planet is because everyone...
Her name's like Brenda Bakke or something.
You know, now that you said that...
Barbara Bakke.
When you said
Bukkake?
When you said Brenda Bukkake, in my head I was thinking, I kind of remember that, but yeah. I didn't want to say it because I don't know if I... If I actually remember that, or if you saying that planted in my head, but
I think you remember.
I remember seeing a.
You remember it's a little.
I remember
because it goes by quick.
I know. I remember trying to do a double take for one of the names, but went by too quick for me to do my double take.
Brenda Bakke.
Okay, that must be it.
She probably shortened it, you know, to get by in Hollywood.
It used to be Bukkake.
So. They were going to the
Stranab solar system,
which is
in the adjoining Rubicon star system.
I think it's like Rubicon.
In the adjoining Rubicon star
Rubicon.
System.
Rubicon.
Captain's log, stardate 412.55.6. In the adjoining Rubicon star system.
That stardate is like I don't know why, but when he said that stardate, I'm going to want you to play it again. I remember that one. That's like one that I remember. You know how there's some stardates you remember?
Captain's log, stardate 412.55.6.
412.55.6. Like, it's in my brain.
It's a nice number.
It's in my brain. In my brain. My brain. Brain. I like this line too.
Riker says the planet's life forms are almost identical to us.
I like how he says Riker.
Riker says the
Riker.
Planet's life forms are almost identical to us.
Yeah, Riker.
Speaking of Riker, did he fornicate with that lady? Did they all have sex? Like, is that what happened? Is that what we're supposed to understand?
He went
Riker,
down there first, right?
Well, he and Tasha.
And Tasha, yeah.
And then they...
Well, Tasha made love first. Because they were like...
They make love at the drop of a hat.
Right? And that's when she goes, shit, my program just...
She's like, any hat.
Flonkled on me. I got a flonkle.
Oh, no.
That's when she said...
Any hat.
Yeah, so... Yeah. And then she saw Leotor, and like, Leotor was like, hey, I remember you. Yeah, and she's like, yeah. Do you think like Wesley was weirded out by all these adults sliming all over each other, like with him standing right there?
It was interesting that the lady was all like...
Yeah.
Brenda Bukkake was all like...
She was
all like, it's unfair to the kid because he can't come to the orgy.
Yeah, and at first she says, I don't know your customs on...
She was like, we're down with you coming to the orgy.
Yeah, right. She's like, I don't know your customs on laws.
We're very European
which implies, that she would be up for like some romp with Wesley.
Forget, 14, 15 in this episode?
Yeah, so...
Season one, he's whatever, he's on the young... maybe 15, I guess.
What about plain old
maybe
basic
16?
Sex?
Maybe 16? I don't know.
What about plain old basic sex?
Yes, basic sex. Basic sex Alaskan style.
Okay,
some alien eggs. Some alien... So he says he's going to make some sunny-side up eggs, but then he just makes some scrambled eggs.
What I was going to say is leading into this episode, it's actually... Beverly in this episode kind of has... She's worked up a little bit even before the whole Wesley thing happens. Now, they just done a bunch of shit where they dropped off all the colonists. Mm-hmm. The morale was low. And it's interesting because, Beverly, the doctor, she has the best knowledge of the mental health of everyone on that ship.
Right,
so when she comes in to be like, these people need some vacation. But it was funny.
This is where we need Jesse from Crusher Convo to comment on the use of Beverly here because there's pluses and minuses to her portrayal.
Well, it was at the first interaction was Troy and Picard were having some conversation and she all like interrupts them. She's like, hey guys, and she's like, oh, sorry, Troy. And then Troy was like basically said like, this asshole is something super duper important to tell you. I think the exact line was
the doctor has something very important to tell you, Captain.
Because it looked like Troy gave a little look after Beverly like interrupted her, and Troy looked annoyed. She's like, okay, I guess it can't wait for me to finish my conversation with the captain.
Busted onto the bridge.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that like
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying. Like, Beverly was just worried about the crew. She was just worried about the crew. So that's why they're going down to that planet. Yeah. But then later on, she's... But even, like, later on, she keeps, like, you know, talking back to the captain and stuff like that. So she's really bold this episode. In general, she's pretty bold this episode.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, interrupting. And then later, she's talking back to the captain. She's like, you know, he's like, in a minute. And she goes...
In a moment.
In a moment.
Like, she's the only one that gets to talk.
But, like...
Fortune favors the bold.
But to be fair, like, her kid was going to get executed, so she gets a... I'm not even gonna say she gets a pass because there's nothing she needs a pass for. She doesn't need a pass for anything.
Doesn't need a pass.
But she did kind of interrupt at the beginning.
A little bit rude with the interrupting.
Yeah.
But she didn't need a pass.
She didn't need a pass.
Especially not later on.
Nah.
Yeah. All right. No. We gotta take a break. But when we come back,
it's already break time.
It's already break time because
we argued for about
there's a long argument that nobody's going to care about because they'll be like, Patrick is right. But yes, when we get back, we're going to discuss this whole
sex people.
No, I was going to say the interpretation of the Prime Directive as well as the sex people. Because I do want to talk about the sexy sex people, but also this weird ass interpretation of the Prime Directive.
Yeah.
All of that and more when we come back, which will be soon after I say the words, we'll be right back. And I'll say that in just a second. We will be right back.
Yeah.
Stand by.
And we're back.
Nice to see you again.
This will please you. Join us.
You did it. Okay, it's fine. I don't have ownership over. I don't have ownership over any moment of the podcast. This is our podcast. We all have a right to speak.
It's a collective.
But we
have established a pattern of me playing sound effects after we come back. So I feel like if you want to change that pattern, I'm up for that discussion.
It was not very thoughtful of me.
I'm not trying to make you feel bad, Jesse. I'm just saying.
Dan's saying you tried to play something and I was running my mouth.
What Dan's trying to say is that we can change things up, but there's a form.
Yeah.
You got to fill out the form.
Yeah,
fill out
right.
the form. Yeah.
Right.
We did not ask you to come here.
Yes, the Prime Directive. We'll still talk more about the sexy people in their costumes, but just
The Prime Directive never intended that.
Yes. Well, okay. What did the Prime Directive intend? Because what seems to not make sense to me about this plot is that the Prime Directive prevents them from rescuing Wesley in principle, right?
Yeah.
But it doesn't prevent them from beaming somebody up to the starship.
Right.
They don't seem to know about starships. They don't seem to know about beaming. And they beam them up to a starship. And then they say, here's your God.
Yeah. Right.
He's like out the window.
How do you recognize
that? That seems to be like against the Prime Directive.
Yeah, right.
Like way more against the Prime Directive than stealing Wesley back from being murdered. And by the way, I don't think the Prime Directive ever said, you gotta get murdered with the people. The Prime Directive said, don't just beam down there in the first place saying like, yo, we're aliens, can we hang out?
At some point the Prime Directive is like it has to be like people that can do warp drive. Like these folks aren't doing warp drive.
Yeah, they didn't seem like it.
Like
they're just oiling each other up.
Sort of on a brief tangent of that, there was because they have this sort of interesting view about, and I think it's on the same idea, because they have this interesting view, I guess, of like gods interacting with people. There was one part where Data and Picard were talking. Data says, they're talking about what is this thing they call God, and Data's like, definitely not a single entity, if that's what you mean, although they know that Ito worship thing as a them as a god thing. And then Picard says they know, and Data says they recognize that it is quite expected and harmless at the present Ito stage of evolution. Data's asserting that it's harmless that this alien race is essentially acting like a god to this primitive society.
I thought that's what they were saying. It's harmless.
It's a really good observation, Dan, because I hadn't really thought about that. They're all talking about the Prime Directive, and meanwhile they don't mind that this other alien breaking their concept.
And
Data's directive.
Like the ambassador for like what we learn about this we never I kind of want to know more about these aliens.
Yeah, they're really cool.
But
badass spaceship.
But yeah, Data says, he goes,
They, the Edo aliens, recognize that this is quite expected and harmless at the present stage of Edo evolution. It's harmless what that Edos are acting as gods. And Data's saying it in such a way, he says, they recognize this fact as if Data and the Starfleet agrees with that too. Yeah. Like, it's
which
not
is,
harmless.
Which is ludicrous.
This is something that will affect them for thousands of years.
Well, okay. Yeah. I think there's two major points. First, right.
Yeah, that goes back to the Prime Directive because it's this view of God's, people meeting God is just fine.
But the other thing is that embedded in Data's assertion, not only is it sort of ridiculously presumptive to assume that that would be harmless, and in fact may quite likely be quite the opposite of harmless. But it also adheres to a viewpoint, an anthropological viewpoint that really probably should have been outdated even in the mid-1980s, that there is some sort of evolutionary ladder of social development, which is not the case. So the idea being that...
I think that was before they came up with that.
No, because that's old ideas that, like, even in the 60s and 70s were already starting to be broken down. The idea that each society has to progress through, like, a savage phase and then an industrial, you know, like...
Right, like Bronze Age.
Yeah, this was a common thing. Marx got that wrong, too. Marx was all like, these are the stages you have to do to get to... So Data adhering to that is uncomfortable because it's a very sort of 18th century view.
It's a weird assertion to make because it's only based upon one data point, which is our data point.
Yes.
Our evolution.
But by the way, there's not even one data point with humans because there have been thousands of cultures have very different histories and not all of them like advance through this, that, or the other
Some
thing.
Some people
right?
grow rice.
Like the classic example, again, bringing up Marx, is Marx believed you had to go from agrarian through industrial and capitalism stages before you could enter into communism, because those were the necessary prerequisites to that. And then
none of the communist countries did that.
Yeah, China, Russia, North Korea, most of them went directly straight from agricultural to communist style governments. Now, some people argue that's why they were never successful, because they didn't follow the progression. But that's
Marx was doing a
discussion
an
for another day.
Of Britain and France.
Yeah.
Okay, and maybe this is not in the spirit of Starfleet, but
we don't lie, Dan.
Yeah, we don't lie.
Because Starfleet is Vulcans.
I'm with Starfleet. We don't lie. We don't lie. We don't lie. We don't lie. We don't lie.
So they could have overpowered them to take... Well, they wouldn't have to overpower them. They could have just beamed Wesley out. Mm-hmm. But the people were basically like... Leotor was basically like, oh, so we're some backwards people. You could just overpower us and take them if you want. And part of it was them being indignant about it. But like, it's also kind of... I don't know if this is me making up my head, but it seemed like there was an implication that if Picard had strong-armed Wesley away from them... it wouldn't have as bad of effect on their laws because they were overpowered. Now, I don't know if I'm just kind of making that up. It seems like...
I got that impression,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, because, like, but then Picard was like that kid who reminds the teacher that they forgot to assign homework. He's like, well, because of the Prime Directive, we can't do this thing that could theoretically maybe ease some of your tension. We have to work it out and make you... We have to make you want to give Wesley to us or something, you know, which was weird because it felt like if they just took him, they could be like, well, we got overpowered. What can we do? But instead, he's like... Instead, he won't do that route, which is more harmful. It would have been less harmful, I'm saying, I think, if they just stolen Wesley and walked away. But because of the Prime Directive, they couldn't.
Picard was trying to like lawyer ball them.
Yeah, and at that one point when she was she was like,
you're talking about
he must be God.
Was that Dr. Bukkake?
Was that the actor's name?
I don't remember.
But
I just keep remembering Bukkake.
The second,
because it's funny.
But the second part where Reven was like,
you must be gods.
And Picard like, if they thought they were gods, then I think that it would be okay for them to take Wesley away, because they're gods. They could be like, oh, these are some other gods.
I was thinking the same thing.
They should just take, and I know it's not within Starfleet to lie and say you're gods when you're not, but at the same time, it's like, once again, you're doing more harm than good by saying you're not gods. If you just claim you're a god and take them away, that could have had a lesser of a negative effect on the civilization.
And it's not something we see. I mean, it's something we've seen.
Isn't that what happens to them eventually?
We see them do that in other examples on Enterprise and other times in TOS even, where you go in disguise. And you try to avoid causing problems, and you're pretending. You're straight up lying to people, but for the noble purpose of protecting
like,
them.
Like the disguise when Picard was in that ninja suit.
Gary Seven.
Why are you always bringing up the ninja suit? That wasn't a disguise. That was a tactical.
That was a disguise so people couldn't see him.
That was
so people couldn't tell who he was. He was disguised as a something that you couldn't tell who he was.
Something that you couldn't tell.
Yeah.
I think
what the hell is it?
this story is somewhat undermined by having this B story with the transdimensional aliens, because the argument, if it was focused purely on what was going on the planet, it would have more poignancy, because all the time, even though they're saying, hey, you could easily overpower us and just take Wesley, in truth, because of this B story, Picard has to consider, if I do this, those aliens might blow us out of the fucking sky. Mm-hmm. He might not think that's going to happen, but it's like an outside chance. It's possible. Right? That's why his whole conversation with Data is like, we need to know more about their thinking, because I got to know, like, because Picard seems like early on, he makes the decision that he's like not going to let Wesley get fucking murdered, right? So his decision's all about, if I do that, what is the repercussions going to be, both on the culture of the planet, but also on this crazy alien monsters who are outside.
They've already had enough like adventures with like, you know, sort of crazy alien intelligences. Like, you know,
to be suspicious. And a fucking orb came on the bridge and did some goofy shit with Data, put Data into a robot coma.
I got some of the orb quotes if you want to hear them.
Yeah, robot coma.
You want to hear the orb quotes?
I do. Hold on. Give me your orb quote in just a second. Just to conclude that point, that if you didn't have the threat of the aliens, if the story was purely focused on the moral dilemma of navigating this tale, it might have worked better, because you could always argue watching this, well, Picard did some of the things he did because he had the threat of these aliens. If he didn't have the threat of the aliens and was actually going to consider letting Wesley get killed, that might be a more interesting story, even though it still doesn't make any sense in the context of the old Prime Directive.
Picard was all like calling Data. He's like, I need help, my friend. Yeah. Like, this is the first season. When did Data go from being like a lower ranking officer to his friend, you know, when they become friends?
I don't know.
Well,
he was never that lower ranking.
But I mean, but I'm saying like, I wouldn't imagine he'd be like, I just wouldn't think it was common practice.
He's like third in command.
I just wouldn't think it was common practice to like talk to like your fellow officers, like, hello, my friend. The way he said it, he was like saying like he was really chummy with Data.
It is episode 8.
I guess. It just seems
the
like
the first season.
Exactly. So I don't know. It just seems like they needed to.
They just still can't whistle.
There seems to be like they need more time.
Don't babble. Don't babble. Data. Don't babble. Data. Don't babble. Data.
Data.
Don't babble. Data.
Data.
Don't babble. Don't babble. Don't babble. Don't babble. Don't babble. Don't babble.
Data.
Don't babble. Don't babble. Don't babble.
Data.
Don't babble.
Yeah. Don't babble. But I guess, I don't know, I guess they became friends at some point.
It was a good scene.
But this is
a cute scene.
This is like the most if we didn't have this part, we wouldn't have seen like the most nervous we've ever seen Picard. He was like really nervous. There was this part right here.
The life forms we left there had sought the challenge. At least that is the basic reason. Had sought the challenge of creating a new lifestyle, a new society there.
That's Picard.
Life on our world is driven to protect itself by seeding itself as widely as possible.
Like that was, and especially this part.
Had sought the challenge, at least that is the basic reason, had sought the challenge.
Like he's stumbling over his words.
Yeah,
he's
trying to justify what is a colonial enterprise.
Yeah,
and I know they're not displacing native people in this case, but it really, what he's describing is like the typical excuse of like, no, they're not after resources. They just want the challenge.
Well, he's also nervous because he's scared of this thing. Like when that alien started charging him, he started yelling at that transport engineer. He's like, hurry the fuck up. But like it was already transporting. Do you notice it started transporting? You saw the beam and he's like, what's going on? Make it go faster. It's like it can't go any faster. It's already going.
Transport faster.
And he's like, so Picard has never been that fucking nervous. Wesley was also a nervous Nelly in this episode.
Yeah, I agree.
He was like,
what? Well, actually, there are some games I don't quite know yet.
He's talking about
sex. If you
have
a bat for the ball, I can show you my favorite.
And then there's, wait, then there's...
He was gonna kill me?
And then there was...
Are you going to let them kill me?
And then there was...
You're thinking, you're the people gonna die?
I'm just fucking nervous all the way. Can't worry about getting killed. But yeah, so yeah. But I like
if you have a bat for the ball
and a ball,
I can show you my favorite.
I don't know. I thought Will Wheaton's delivery was fantastic.
Oh no, Will Wheaton's good. Right. Will Wheaton's great.
This is great. He made him seem like really nervous. It's like these adults are talking about like fucking around when I'm like right here. It's like I just want to go over here. And then this woman is like,
he's like, it's getting wet and wild.
And this woman's like, if it's okay with your people, we could have sex. Yeah. You know, it's like he's like, oh.
And then when he meets up with those those sexy young lads and gal,
yeah, he's like, okay,
bouncing around. It was a little uncomfortable because it's like they're like playing young
and
prancing about.
And the dude is like wearing like
almost V-neck pants.
He's just wearing these like baggy. Well, the dude, the kid is just wearing the pants.
Yeah,
part.
The kids are just
and then
pants.
He's like, watch me do a handstand. And it's like, ugh. And then, but it was
see if my scrot falls out.
Yeah, exactly. And then, yeah, there was the whole went the bat and the ball thing. Like that's when he was like,
that very phallic.
Well, actually,
this is a
there
part
are some games I don't quite know yet.
He thought that that girl was gonna want
that girl
like,
was like, do you know how to play the lick my pussy?
Yeah, that game.
That game.
Chief O'Brien.
That time-honored game.
But I mean, speaking of the V-neck shirts,
kind
of
like Nine Men's Morris. You got Nine Men's Morris chest. And all sorts of other things that they play on this planet.
They play all sorts of games on this
all
planet.
All sorts of games.
All sorts of games.
Cross-country skiing.
So I couldn't tell. There was
you know, Jesse knows what I'm talking about. You get a damn with a cross-country skiing. It's a sex joke.
I don't get it.
Cross-country skiing. Jesse's showing
you. Oh, you're talking about, oh.
Oh, I'm
with
sorry.
Your hands.
I don't mean to be blue, but what are you going to do? This is a sex planet.
Okay, so when Leotard goes, whatever pleases you.
Is his name Leotard?
You're
frequently saying Leotard, but I
no, I'm not saying Leotard.
Is it
sounds
no,
like
no, right here. I got a couple sounds that show it, okay?
How can we let this happen, Leotard?
Leopold! 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 Leopold.
That's Bugs Bunny.
Leopold.
See? No, it's Leotard.
How can we let this happen, Leotard?
Leotard, whatever.
Leotard.
If someone's allowed to say Kalos and someone else is allowed to say Kolos, I'm allowed to say Leotard.
No one would suggest otherwise.
Okay. Well, you just said it as if it was like, you mean Leotard.
He wants to fight you.
Okay.
I didn't mean you mean.
Okay.
I'm enunciating.
I'm calm.
Because it's not Leotard.
I'm calm.
It's not Leopold.
I'm calm.
Leotard.
But they were talking about going to, we can discuss, this is when they get on the planet, Leotard goes, we can discuss it at the council chambers. And then Reven goes, shall we go there now or remain and play? And Riker's like, play? Now, I wasn't
Can you play the clip of Riker saying play again?
Play.
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 That sounds, Mother. That sounds like Cartman.
Play.
Mother.
Play.
Mother. Mother.
Play. Play,
that
play,
sounds like Cartman,
play,
maybe, or maybe
play,
Randy,
play,
Randy
play,
Marsh.
Play.
It's kind of like a South Park-esque play, play.
Joy and happiness.
Nice planet.
The good life, Worf.
It's a shadow something.
And that part, I don't.
I like this. I like this part.
Why has everything become a something or a whatever?
That was one of them.
Well, whatever.
Oh, whatever.
I don't want to interrupt your point, Dan, but since you've already interrupted your own point with your
well, you asked me to do sound. The. You asked me to do the. You asked me to play the play sound, which I couldn't help. Which you knew I couldn't help, but then like go on a tangent on.
I did not know.
Like
that.
Like when you said play, you knew I had to do this.
I get it. No, I just you reminded me about the discovery or the reveal in this episode that Worf is all like, I guess, banging lots of human women.
Well, no, he said they're too fragile.
No, he didn't say they're too fragile for him to have sex with. He said he had to hold himself back. That's what he says. He implies that he has a great deal of experience with human women.
Okay.
But that he has to hold himself back from his Klingon desires.
He says, well, because what he says is I must restrain myself too much. So that either, I took that to mean that he doesn't bother with humans because it means he would have to restrain himself too much.
I don't think it means he doesn't. I think it implies experience. He's not assuming he would have to restrain himself.
But he does say specifically for what we consider love, I would need a Klingon woman. Yeah. He says that what we would need for love.
Yes, for love, not for basic sex.
For what we consider love, sir, I would need a Klingon woman.
But what about basic sex?
What about plain old basic sex?
Plain old basic sex.
What about Plano? He says, of course, but with females available to me, sir, Earth females, I must restrain myself too much. They're quite fragile. So yeah. I don't know. I don't know either way. I don't know.
I think it's one of those things. Okay. But, maybe not a great deal of experience, but sufficient experience to understand that maybe it's not his
company. But when he said they're quite fragile, and then Riker said, Worf, if anyone else had said that, I'd suspect he was bragging. Yeah. Now, as a kid, when I was younger, I was thinking, oh, he likes to have really rough sex. But now I'm starting to think, like, the implication is he's got a really big dong.
Yeah, two of them.
Two of them, right.
Yeah, he's Klingon.
Two
big dong.
But when Riker said, I'd suspect he was bragging, that's the implication is Worf is saying he has a big thingy, right?
I don't know if it's a big thingy just a general prowess.
Well, I think
the idea is being, you know, having a...
Well, then it's kind of uncomfortable, the idea that, like, you know, people would be bragging about, like, roughing up a girl during sex, you know? It's like, that's not something to brag about.
Male toxicity? You got it exactly right. It's toxic male cisity.
Toxic male cisity.
I think
I'm just going to say, and you can disagree, but I think when Riker said, Worf, if anyone else had said that, I suspect he was bragging. I think Riker was like, so you're saying you got a big thing. That's what I think.
I think he just meant prowess.
Vigor.
Okay. Vim and vigor.
Yeah. But I mean... But again, I think if you had good prowess, you wouldn't need to worry about the fragility of a person because you would be, you'd have a deft wiener, you know?
A deft wiener?
That wouldn't, like, you know, harm the person.
Wow.
I don't know. It doesn't matter. But okay, the point I was making.
The point before we get on this topic.
Sex talk.
Play.
The sex talk when we're talking about.
Play.
Leotor goes, whatever pleases you, we can discuss it at the council chambers. Reven goes, shall we go there now or remain in play? To which Riker says,
play.
And then Reven says, at love, unless you don't enjoy that. So anyway, so they're talking about instead of going to the council chambers, they're going to go play. But then they were like, then she was like, we feel bad for Wesley. So they took Wesley off and gave him with the kids. Where would you say they went after they dropped Wesley off?
To have sex with each other.
Was that the council chambers, though, that they went to? Because it kind of had a chamber look to it. I couldn't tell if that was a council chambers or if it was just some kind of play area. That's what I was confused about.
Everyone was making out.
Everyone was making out. There was like hot oil massages and like there was like some people making out a bench. There was people like basically having sex on one of those couches that looks like a bed. Or is it a bed? Is it a couch that looks like a bed or a bed that looks like a couch? You know what I'm talking about? There's a name for those things. They're couches, but
it's not a chaise lounge, but it's
no, like something else. But anyways, so I'm wondering if that's a normal activity in council chambers to just like and like in the playroom it's like all balls
in the what room
the all-out playroom what did
in,
I say
in the what room
the playroom oh in the, are you talking about in the
play
room
yes, exactly. Thank you.
I'm wondering if in the actual play palace there's like just a grand orgy everywhere.
Play palace.
So the question is, do you think that that was the council chambers, or do you think that was the playroom, or do you think it was the council chambers and the playroom is just like balls out super orgy?
You know, that's a good question that I honestly hadn't considered because...
Well, now you can.
Well, because they later on, when shit hits the fan, they are talking... It looks like the same place that they all get together and talk, but am I mistaken? I mean, I just assumed it was the same place as like where everyone was like making out before. They were just sitting in a different position. They were all like looking all serious.
Yeah, so that's where they all talked. That's why I thought it was the council chambers is because they were holding, they seemed like they were holding court there. They were having business, but there was also people making out in the background. I like how they also have to jog everywhere. They can't just walk anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Just like uncomfortable. Like when the crew was all jogging, that made me feel weird.
That was another sort of
weird.
Had an 80s vibe to it where it was just, like, hey, wouldn't it be funny if these aliens just like ran everywhere? And it wasn't like, I guess it was more jogging than like straight up running, but it was pretty goofy and silly.
I was gonna play some orb sounds, but we can
I wonder the orb sounds. I'm looking forward to the orb sounds.
Jesse, you want to hear some orb sounds?
Yeah, he's all down. He's
down
all ready for
you. Down for some orb sounds?
He's
Jesse
ready for the orb sounds.
Yeah, man.
All right. Good. All right, here's some orb sounds from this guy.
Orb party
Here we go. Get ready.
State the purpose.
That was
state the purpose of your visit here. Do you plan to leave life forms here?
Stop now.
Do not interfere with my children below.
It will bring you great danger.
Choose the form that is true. Doctor, choose and perish.
State the purpose of what you have done. Return my child.
The Traveler has come.
Return what you have stolen from me. Return the map.
The choice is made.
There's a lot of orb quotes in this episode.
There's a lot of orb quotes.
Yeah, it was more than I expected, really.
You found more than I actually remember being in the episode.
Well, you know, maybe I got a different version than you or something. That actually happened to me when we did the ALF, when we did the ALF podcast. Remember that?
It turns out. Oh, you mean It's Got ALF?
Yeah, It's Got ALF. It turns out the one I watched was the original uncut version. Because in that one, in the cut version of ALF, the one that aired on TV, it opens with like a short like narration from Willie and just a freeze frame. But in the uncut version, there's a whole opening scene that happens. So maybe I saw like an uncut version or something. I don't know. That's why there were so many orb quotes.
It's a long way to go for that one, Dan.
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right.
I'm not joking, Lee.
I'm not joking either about the fact that Troy was a little awkward this episode. You touched on that earlier, Dan.
And someone touched on her.
It's a little tricky to navigate the fact that these people come off as like real sexual assaulters.
But it's
also a different culture, a different planet that is kind of being
And they did specifically say no one's allowed to do anything that makes anyone uncomfortable.
They said that later after they were all hung up on everything.
And after they said, we'll have sex with this young child if it's okay with you. Yeah. After they said that.
Yes, exactly. They're like, oh, it's just a different culture.
Yeah.
But I liked when Troy, she was all talking about what she was sensing, and she was sensing healthy sensuality. And I was like, and she was talking about sensing extreme happiness.
Yeah.
And she meant horniness.
Yeah, that's what she definitely meant. It was, this is one of those times, man.
What's going on, man, with your organization? How do you organize
There was a lot of sounds. Hold on.
There were a lot
of sounds. Healthy sensuality, sir. I feel mainly friendship and happiness.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
horniness.
In the background, you hear that.
Yeah, right. if you quietly listen to these sounds, we're not going to do that. Don't worry. At the end
you
of
mean
a lot,
you
of,
didn't like pump up those background sounds.
Well, so at the end of a lot of sounds, you'll hear like little like woohoo, woohoo. There are a couple of them I did pump up though, like this one.
But it would be a contradiction. We consider to this true justice.
I didn't pump up any like fun ones. Like there was this other one.
You win.
You win. They were playing a game in the room that we don't know.
Was that when
chambers.
They were playing that game where they like hid something behind their back and then like showed it to each other?
It was like
little gold balls.
Yeah,
or
it was
something?
Like some kind of modified jacks.
Was it Benoit balls?
Benoit.
Yeah, I don't know if it was dice, Benoit balls.
I don't know what
jacks.
Benoit balls are.
You know, Benoit balls are those you can rotate them in your hands. You know, they go clink, clink, clink.
Oh, the ones that are supposed to relax you or something.
Yeah, but sometimes they stress you out because you're like, oh god.
I'm glad it's gone.
I don't want Benoit balls.
Yeah. So anyway, Troy having some. Some interesting difficulty with the horniness. First season,
she was blushing.
Troy was always very interesting because in this episode, we see her being both very sex positive, but also weirdly jealous of Riker because like she and Riker used to have a relationship, but they don't now, and they're just professionals and hanging out together. So why is she being all bitter?
And then when Leotor came up to her, she was sheepish when he was like, "Ooh, hey." Yeah. Now, understandably so. I'm not saying that. That
she started all
be.
Naked on her,
but with Tasha Yar, like right away, Tasha was into it.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But she had already had sex with that guy.
Clearly.
Oh, yeah. But like, and so Troy was like sheepish about it. But and then you know, I think, but Beta Zeds are supposed to be more sex positive. It doesn't mean that she has to like his advances.
No,
of course
not.
But it just seems like she would be like less embarrassed and more assertive about it or something.
I thought so too. Well, you know, early season one. It's because it's not just season one. It's early season one, so it's particularly like weird and old.
Data and Picard are already good friends.
Yeah. Like the positives and negatives of this episode can both be attributed to the early season one factors there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we should take another break.
Another break?
Yeah, another break. And then we can conclude our discussion of Star Trek TNG's Justice. Be right back.
Short and sweet.
And we're back.
Main viewer on.
Lieutenant LaForge to Captain.
Let's have more talk, Data.
I like this delivery.
Lieutenant LaForge to captain.
Lieutenant LaForge to captain.
Lieutenant LaForge to captain.
Lieutenant LaForge. It's like Casey Kasem vibe. Lieutenant Casey LaForge.
And next. Don't you feel, Casey Kasem.
Would you? I mean, I know in the future.
A dead dog.
I know in the future everything is all sex positive, but I'd still feel kind of awkward if I went to a sex planet with my coworkers. You know what I mean? Like,
well, you're supposed to be down to clown with your coworkers in Gene Roddenberry's 1980s vision of a utopian future.
You're just like, sex, no big deal. You're just like, and you know, and like,
there's an appeal to that. It's just one of those classic ideas, kind of like libertarianism, where it's like, hey, it sounds good, and then you kind of get down to the brass tacks, and you're like, oh, you know what? You know, I don't know.
I feel like I'm pretty sex positive myself. Like, yeah. I think sex is a good thing. I agree with sex in general. You know, it's like something that
you agree with sex.
It's something that
personification of sex when it states a point you generally agree
with. It's something that should be like that we should like, you know, have a relationship with.
If you want to do it, you can do it. If you don't want to do it, don't do it.
I would say that sex on the whole is good for humanity.
All right.
Okay, and other creatures too.
All right.
But
it's good for propagating
the
species.
But there's something called, you know, like context, and like it's context, weird in the context of work. Like, for example, when Reven got beamed to the starship, to Enterprise, she was still wearing her weird romper suit, whatever thing. And I know that they don't care because they're on the whatever planet, but it's like, okay, if you're wearing like a skimpy bathing suit, like if I was wearing a skimpy bathing suit on the beach, that'd be one thing. I'd be okay. I'd be like, look at my skimpy bathing suit. So great. But if I was in an office at work, I'd be like, don't look at me in my skimpy bathing suit. Not so great.
Of
you
course,
know?
That'd be because of the culture within which you were embedded.
Yes.
And she is not embedded in so such that, a culture.
So that's what I'm saying is their culture is such that context doesn't matter. They just want to be like, wee, everywhere. Even on a ship where nobody... Because I think it's... I don't know what their culture is like, but it is common for things not to want to stand out. And she obviously stood out in that group of fully clothed people in the Enterprise. It's, you know, whatever.
Maybe she was embarrassed for them.
Maybe. Yeah, she could have been embarrassed.
It's like when Ferengi see Ferengi women wearing clothes, that's they're true. Sort of disgusted by it.
And they were able to take their, basically what amounted to their police force seriously, even though they were wearing those skimpy V-shirt things.
They
like,
looked more serious. They were like extra serious.
They're wearing their sex outfits, the same sex outfits everyone else wears, and they're trying to enforce the laws. I don't know.
The sex outfits that we did touch on briefly, but we
touch
should
on you.
Yeah, you know, well, we should specify, you know, it's got that for the men, it was like a weird, like let's just scrunch one testicle over to one side and then a dick and one ball over to the other side. And very obviously so.
Yeah.
Right? That was it was interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining about it. It was interesting.
It was interesting.
It was very, all the costumes were very interesting.
They were interesting, for sure.
Would you wear one of those costumes?
No, I wouldn't wear that.
Would you be embarrassed to?
I don't know why. I mean, it was why do we have any styles we have? But it was an awkward style to even bother. The men were even wearing a top at all because their top
Except for the young men.
Oh, yeah, that don't wear a top.
Everyone's showing their nipple.
Maybe that's how they differentiate young men from adult men is the young
men.
Maybe that's how they differentiate young men from old men is because young men wear less clothing.
Any young men. You
know what I mean? Like that's what you want is you want the younger men to wear less clothing.
Fewer clothing.
Fewer clothings than the adults. But that's all I can think is it's a rite of passage to get to wear the non-top that they wear or whatever.
Just so long as you're wearing a V-neck pair of shorts that just sort of points down at your... crotchial area.
So here's some sex music. See, there was all this sex music, right? And this is like classic, like TNG kind of like doodly doot music. This goes on for quite a while, actually.
This makes you want to have sex.
That's what they were playing while they were having sex.
Oh, no, I understand that, but does this music put you in the mood for sex?
No, but that's a different culture, like you just said.
It is a different culture.
It is a different culture.
It's all like I'm tiptoeing along. I'm creeping into your bedroom. Ding, ding, ding.
But what's interesting is, okay, during the Beverly parts, I always associate synth music with season one, right?
Yeah.
And season two.
Yes.
But in the Beverly part, it was all serious. It was like some kind of like string quartet or something. It was like this. That was the music. I thought that was kind of cool.
Thank you, sir.
Or just violins or something.
Yeah. Data, take command.
It's totally a different vibe than I'm used to in Star Trek First Season.
Do you think it's real violins or do you think it's synthesized violins?
This
I'm pretty sure that's real.
It sounds real.
It's almost time. I want the boy brought here now.
Then switches over to I like when I mean, we can't get through this episode without mentioning this part.
The emotion of motherhood is compared to all others felt by you.
Shut up!
That was a good
babbling.
Yeah. You're right, sir. I do babble.
Yes, the early series Data.
Yeah.
Where he says something.
That was the most babbly he's ever been.
Obtuse and goofy.
Yeah, that was probably the most intense he's been.
I do tend to babble.
My apologies for saying that you babbled.
Early Data comes off as very Jordan Schlansky-ish.
That's an interesting reference.
From Conan O'Brien.
Yeah, you know, I know who Jordan
Conan O'Brien's associate producer.
I know who that is, yes.
Just explaining it to the audience.
Mm-hmm.
We have a great international audience.
Oh, sure.
They might not all be familiar with the Conan sub-character of Jordan Schlansky. But mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that sometimes I'm Jordan Schlansky type personality traits there.
Well, Data did a lot of, like, there was several times where Picard had to basically tell Data to, like, stop talking. But this was the most, once again, this is the most nervous I've seen Picard. I like to find Star Trek the most moments. I notice I do this in certain episodes. Like, this is the most I've ever mm-hmm. seen this character do this. I find I do that sometimes. In this episode, I found this is the most nervous I've seen Picard, and this is the most babbly I think I've seen Data. So, yeah. And this is the most sexy I've seen the whole crew.
It is a pretty...
What about plain old basic sex?
Sexy episode. And it's very overt about it because yeah. It's part and parcel of the actual moral tale. Although what's funny is so discussion, the point of the story is to sort of debate this misapplication, in my view, of the Prime Directive, but okay, mm-hmm. Whatever. Let's just take it as they've presented it. That's the goal. But they accentuate that story, the extremes of the story. The one extreme is, you get executed.
Death punished.
You get executed for any infraction, even if it's something that would normally be like a $10 fine or something elsewhere. That's the one extreme. The other extreme is that this place is, as they put it, an Eden. It's perfect.
Yes. It's called Edo.
It's Edo. It's like an Eden. It's portrayed as being perfect in every way except for their justice system. And
there's always something. There's always a catch.
Yeah, but by definition, we then have to decide, okay, what are the writers telling us their perception of perfect is? And that is people who just fuck all the time and prance about in the park in a place that looks suspiciously like Starfleet Academy and Starfleet headquarters, Southern California.
They certainly are fit.
Like the British word fit, you know, in England, they're always calling people fit all the time. I went on YouTube and tried to find quotes of British people saying fit in shows, but I think it happens too often because I kept getting like short, you know, the YouTube shorts, like those, not pants. You know how they have those short videos?
Yeah. It's where they take TikTok videos and put them on YouTube.
And so I was just looking for YouTube videos, and normally you type in whatever and you get YouTube video. But when I wrote British people saying that someone is fit, I just got a bunch of shorts. It just handed me shorts. I was like, I'm not interested in shorts. I'm interested in quotes in movies where someone says fit. So I couldn't find any quotes of that, of British people saying fit, because there's too many.
You should ask ChatGPT.
They always sometimes gets those things wrong.
About Google Gemini?
I remember asking ChatGPT for like synopses.
What about Microsoft Copilot?
I remember asking ChatGPT about synopses from TNG episodes, and they would just like get them all mixed up.
What about Meta AI?
Did you hear what I said?
What about consensus?
Did you hear what I said?
What about research rabbits?
Yes, we know you know things. What about Claude thinking?
Yeah, Claude is a good one. Claude is a good one. I should have said that before consensus, honestly. Mm-hmm. All right.
Let's just hope it's not too good to be true.
But anyways.
Oh, look, I know that we're supposed to understand that these are lovely sex people and that they have some transdimensional aliens helping take care of them up above, similar in some ways to the Voyager with the caretaker.
Neat as pins, ultra lawful.
And the Kes people, the elfy young people.
Of course.
But I was curious, like, there's no functionaries on this planet except for those enforcer people. And we have some sort of, I guess, sort of implication that Dr. Bukkake and Leotard Man are leaders of some sort, but it's not fully clear. Because I so the point is like, who's the accountants? Who's the...
Well, no, God does it all for him.
But not necessarily. I don't know.
Well, if it's like the Garden of Eden, in the Garden of Eden, you didn't need any kind of like people that did shit. Well, God took care of all of it.
But in the Garden of Eden, they had that whole gag where like God has that whole like hilarious gag where he's like, hey, check it out. There's all this nice shit, but don't eat that.
Don't
eat that fruit. That's my gag.
That's what the law is the gag in this one, is that there's that law. And you said yourself, it's like the Garden of Eden, which I agree with. It's Edo, Garden of Eden. So I'm saying that God probably takes care of all their shit.
You think God came down and stopped those bullets? I'm sorry, we haven't mentioned Pulp Fiction.
No,
we haven't made a Pulp Fiction reference in quite some time.
What the hell is it?
What else happened in this episode? A lot of stuff happened in this episode. We already mentioned it, but the whole...
I'm with Starfleet. We don't lie.
That was it was funny. It was such an awkward moment of levity in that whole thing. Like, we're gonna kill you! We're gonna kill you! And then he's all like, burr, and he puffs his chest up, and it's like, I'm Starfleet. And it's like, it's funny. But it's such a weird place to laugh. Thought it was it was an interesting place to put that line.
And this is, again, one of those areas where it's like, not to harp on this, but first
you mean
season,
like the weird shoulder harp and the cello sword they were making sex music with earlier? You don't want to harp on it, like that shoulder harp they had. You remember that shoulder harp?
Dan predicted that I would at some point in this episode use the verb harp in this case,
and then I would turn it into the noun form of the weird shoulder harp and the cello sword.
Converted my
they
verb
had a cello sword
to a noun. To hilarious effect.
I wonder if Jesse has any opinions on the cello sword. It doesn't look like he does.
No, I don't think Jesse has any opinions on anything at this stage. No, not to harp on it, but...
Not to put too fine a point on it. Say, I'm the only bee
in your bonnet.
In your bonnet.
Yes, they might be giants. Birdhouse in your soul. Oh, I thought that you were going
to
have...
Would you think I just had like Birdhouse in Your Soul ready to play?
No, I thought we were just going to sing
it.
It'd
be awesome if I did. And I just like, but
I'm
do.
I'm your only friend. I'm not your only friend, but I'm a little glowing friend. But really, I'm not actually your friend, but I am.
Thank you. Finish it later, please.
Okay. Probably a good idea. That's a good one. That's going to be like another,
this human's full of words.
Right.
This human is full of words.
Okay. No, but what I was trying to get at is the quote that you played from Wesley. Is it meant to be funny? Is it just funny because of the weird context? Is it funny because of Wesley, Will Wheaton's delivery? Is it a combination of all of that? I kind of lean into a combination. Just the vibe of it all is it's retaining some campiness, but it is interesting. It's a cool perspective, but it's a little cheesy.
Okay, first of all, is Wesley... I don't know, because I actually don't know. Is Wesley... What episode does Wesley first appear in?
He's in the Encounter at Farpoint.
Encounter at Farpoint. Is he officially Starfleet at this point?
No, like... See, at so first it's kind he's of... Just, he's just Crusher's...
Right.
He's just
well,
Crusher's
no, but
boy.
I'm sorry, I meant by episode 8. Is he Starfleet by this point?
An acting ensign? I don't know if he's... I forget now. He's made an acting ensign
so
pretty
my,
early.
That's why it was funny to me, because
he doesn't have his uniform
because
yet.
He's talking like he's some like serious officer in Starfleet being like, we don't, and he's taking some statement of like some kind of idealistic statement of like, we don't lie because we're just these super great people, you know? And he's got this very naive, idealistic view of things.
Which actually makes more sense for him to say as opposed to somebody who's actually been in Starfleet.
No, exactly.
And knows about all the bullshit that
it makes more sense for him to say, which is why it's funnier, because he gets this serious tone in his
voice. He hasn't done a rotation on Starbase 80 yet.
No. Worf at one point, Riker's like, this may be nothing, but let's move all our people together. And then Worf goes, including Wesley, the boy? Why did he have to specify the boy? And it made me think.
They're calling Wesley the boy a lot.
They refer Wesley to as boy.
you want to start that over again, Dan?
Yeah, I think I will.
All right.
they refer to Wesley as boy 13 times in this episode.
Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Worf once, Riker once, Leator once, Reven twice, Picard six times.
Oh my God. Yeah, but Picard's always calling him boy.
And the mediator, I don't know if it was one of the mediators or both. I think it was one of the mediators.
Mainstream
mediator? I think it was mediator one. I think it was two times. Yeah, for a total of 13 times he was referred to as boy. And it's funny because Picard, when they're talking about the situation and Wesley's like, wait, I should be a part of this decision or whatever. And Picard goes, you're not involved in this decision, boy. And then Wesley goes, well, you know, excuse me,
it
sir.
It looks like I am.
He goes, like, I guess I am involved in this, but they never take that line anywhere. No. It seems like something
was cut out. Doesn't it seem like
something was cut out?
Like
because
15 seconds was cut
right,
out.
Right, because it seems like they were setting up to make a point or something, and he said, I am a part of this, and then they just beamed away, and it's like, I guess he wasn't a part of it. Like, why did they even leave that part in?
Everything in that scene was set up to lead to him saying, like, if it's going to cause danger to the ship, then I will sacrifice myself.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right.
Except he doesn't do that because then Picard's like, let's go.
Yeah.
And then Wesley's all like happy about it. He's like, oh, I'm happy Picard's going to like help save my life or at least attempt to do so or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well.
Now.
What a pointless line.
I have a note here that says, I bet this planet is stinky.
Oh, like sex stinky or like no, or like sweat stinky?
I think it's a little of both because they're jogging around everywhere and they're constantly just having sex with each other.
Nice planet.
And you're like, what?
Joy and happiness.
Walking through this Chamber of Secrets or whatever they call this business. And just everyone's all, and they got, they're making a point to be like, you know what? We're going to have old people. We're going to have young people. We're going to have all these people. Like there was like a really old looking man who was making out with some gal. Not a particularly diverse planet, if I recall.
No, it wasn't.
It was a very white, white leaning planet. Not exclusively, I suppose, but very white leaning. Although a lot of these men had oddly shaped faces, in my opinion.
I didn't notice the face shapage of the men specifically.
And this is not me. I'm not making a critique. I don't want to critique somebody's physical appearance, although it certainly sounds like that's exactly what I'm doing. That's not my intention.
Just, what of justice?
I don't know exactly what their casting criteria was, but it seemed like they were going for a certain vibe, at least with the men. There seemed like there was a certain type of man they were when they put out the casting call. Peculiar.
Sort of a blondish looking man.
Yeah, like a blondish, but also like there's something about the facial, the body shape. I don't know. I couldn't tell you what they like, Roman centurion or something. I don't know. There was some vibe that they were going for. I don't know exactly what that was. But yeah.
Can't run? Of course we can run. Right, Commander?
Right, Commander?
Can't run. I thought that Wesley didn't seem that sorry about his mistake he made. Like he
kept saying like, I'm fine.
Yeah, I know. Like even though he didn't know the severity of his actions, he could have still been like a little bit of starved. Because when the guy was like clearly upset, the boy was like, man, don't do that shit, man. And he's like, it's no biggie, dude. I'm fine. Yeah. I'm fine. Like he's not even like. My bad, you know, or oh, whoops, you know. He's just kind of like, I don't know what people are upset about. I'm fine. Nothing's wrong with me, you know.
It's
and
like
he,
when you break a vase at your friend's house, and it turns out it was some special fancy vase. And
right,
your friend's all freaking out. You're
all
like,
freaking out.
He's just a vase.
Right, and even when what is it that she said? She said something. She goes, oh no. She goes, oh no.
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 Oh, please no.
Like, you could tell by a context.
She was upset.
Yeah, you could tell by a context clues that there was something serious going on. And Wesley's like, I told you I was fine. Yeah. You know, and you know, like, he doesn't get that someone could be annoyed by the fact that he just, like, broke some flowers. So, like, on the one hand, they overreacted, obviously, but like, he should have been a little bit more like, oh, I'm sorry, that was fucked up. And then later he did say I'm sorry. He was just like, I'm really sorry, you know. Like, I guess in the future, in an idealistic future, nobody cares. I guess it is no scarcity in the future. So when you break something, it's no big deal. But they're still polite. Yeah. They're still being polite. Like, you don't fuck someone's shit up out of principle, you know?
Sure. I agree with that for certain. But again, we must allow for sort of different cultural interpretations.
No.
But
and security.
I just always took it as, you know, he's young. He's inexperienced. He hasn't had the experiences that he will eventually have traveling around meeting all these people. This is one of those experiences.
Yeah, I just think that he could have, his first reaction regardless should have been,
agreed.
I'm sorry,
I found it peculiar
the fact that he kept
saying, I'm okay.
Yeah, like he couldn't imagine there was any other reason for like anyway, whatever. There was the concerning line I mentioned earlier about how Data was like, they recognize that the fact that they are acting like gods to this culture, it's harmless, you know? They recognize that it's no big deal, which
no
is bullshit.
No big deal at all.
Which is bullshit, because, like I said, that has an effect. It had effect on our culture for thousands of years, that kind of thing.
It's an absurd statement.
Yeah, not saying that we were directly affected by aliens, but a similar concept of, you know...
Dan thinks that we've been affected by aliens.
Yeah, I do. Okay, but the other part that kind of concerned me a little bit was almost the throwaway part where Picard goes, we have learned to detect the seeds of criminal behavior.
Yes.
Capital punishment in our world is no longer considered a justifiable deterrent. The last part is okay. Yes. But that first part is like, what do you define as a seed of criminal behavior?
Eugenics.
Is this some like Minority Report shit or like?
Minority Report is probably the kinder way to put it. Because what he's saying is pretty close to saying, like, you see, people have different lumps on their head. Right. And if you feel the lumps, you can map out which ones are deranged criminals and should be extinguished in the womb.
Nothing will harm you, I promise.
Yeah, it was
a weird line.
And this is, by the way, not unusual in Star Trek generally.
It's not unusual in Star Trek generally.
But
do you like that? It's not unusual in Star Trek generally.
I did like it. I was going to talk to you about how much I liked it after we're finished.
But now, because I interrupted you, now you're not going to tell me.
We'll talk about it.
Who wants to risk execution?
But TNG, I think TNG veered occasionally into these sort of odd coke-fueled 80s philosophies that, again, some of those that sound kind of good but are like not necessarily when you try to tease them apart and see how they would actually work practically speaking. But anyway, I'm not going to make a big deal about it. But yes, the Picard being like, yes, the seeds of criminal behavior. You mean like growing up in poverty?
Right.
Growing up in under systematic oppression, given little choice but to obtain resources in various ways. Not to mention that the people can be criminals at all levels of society. In fact, some of the worst criminals are at the highest levels. You know what I'm saying, Picard?
All right. Especially that admiral, one admiral. What was that admiral?
All the badmirals. All the badmirals.
The Bama bad rules. There was a line where Data says, would you choose one life over 1,000, sir? I think this is a That's So Picard moment. Yeah.
I refuse to let arithmetic decide questions like that.
I like that answer, but
it is good. Although it is also asserting a particular philosophical position, because people who are, you know, sort of more functional, you know, if they have a more certain types of philosophy, would say, no, actually, arithmetic is precisely how you should be.
My statement wasn't meant to say, like, I agree with his statement. It was more meant to say, I just like how, like, that's a great response that he gave, the way it's like a Picard response
and
to give.
I do agree with it in principle.
I also tend to as well. I thought it was interesting because it almost seemed like it was in response to Spock Wrath of Khan. He was talking about the needs of the many outweighing the needs of the few. And that's like a direct, like, opposite view.
Yeah, because Kirk is like, no, dude. We like you better than all these other jabronis.
So, yeah, I didn't know if that was meant to, like, if that was an accident or what.
This was filmed not too far after Star Trek 2, because Star Trek 2 was 82, and this would have been filmed.
Star Trek 2 is 82.
86, 87.
Star Trek 2 is 82. Star Trek 2 is 82.
No, it isn't.
Star Trek 2 is 82.
It's much more recent than
Star Trek 2 is 82.
Or it was released in 1980.
One might have noticed throughout this episode that Picard, because I played them, Picard had a lot of terse no's in this episode.
No, 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 no.
Look at all those no's he said. There was five no's Picard said in this episode. That's a lot of no's, you know?
Is it?
Five for one character to say no five times in an episode?
I mean, you tell me.
It's unprecedented.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right.
And they were so like, rah! Like,
no, no, no. No, no.
It's like, no.
I liked
no.
I like when they were talking about the, they are looking out the window and there is a partly transparent spaceship.
Oh, you're talking about like the phased, like, sort of space wisp thing that was like whatever.
So there's a partly, transparent.
It had one of its properties was it had phase.
Yeah.
Like in Magic the Gathering.
Precisely. It was like phase. A Magic the Gathering phase.
phase god.
It was partly phased into another dimension, so it was partly transparent.
Well, we don't know if it was phased into another dimension or if it was phased into different parts of the same dimension.
True. So whatever, it was partly transparent.
Get it right.
Regardless of what it was doing, what we do know, it was clearly, you just look out the window, you look at the thing, you're like, that thing is partly transparent. Mm-hmm. And then there was that guy, there was that line where somebody was like, it looks like it's partly transparent. And it just was so funny. Because it's like, yeah, it's obviously partly transparent. Yeah. Why does somebody have to say it? Why is there a line that says, like, it's partly transparent?
Anyway, yeah. That's a good question.
That was my main question of the whole episode.
Yeah.
Why did they need to say that line?
Godlike efficiency.
Indeed.
Indeed.
All right. Any final points, Dan or Jesse?
It's always sad. Now doubly so.
I like how he says that.
Doubly so. Now doubly so. Doubly so.
Right, there's a couple beats.
They haven't always, but now they do. They haven't
That's
always,
a good one.
But now they do. They haven't always, but now they do. They haven't always, but now they do.
And then there's one more.
Do not do this to us, we beg you. Do not do this to us, we beg you. Do not do this to us, we beg you. Do not do this to us, we beg you.
All right, and what we beg of our audience.
And that, I like that last one because it at first you think the emphasis is on the do not, but if you play it over again, it's on the beg you.
Do not do this to us, we beg you. Do not do this to us, we beg you.
To us, we beg you. To us, we beg you. It sounds like he's saying we beg you.
I really like that.
Like, it sounds like beg you. Like a beg you is a thing. Yeah. It's like a verb is beg you, and we are beg youing.
It's like one of those skinny Montreal bagels.
Do not do this.
I beg you.
To us, we beg you. We beg you.
Yes,
like not as in we're begging you, as in like a beg you. It's something. Imagine what it means to beg you.
Yeah. But not beg you, as in beg you. What I won't imagine is that we beg our audience to cut out those sound clips and do something with those beats and send us your musical creations and
we'll
play them on the air.
It's not that simple.
Musical mashups, Star Trek quotes, make a bunch of tunes. That would be fun. You can send them to feedback@itsgotstartrek.com.
Unusually lovely.
All right. I think that's been it. That's been our conversation.
We have very little time.
Our discussion about justice. Now, what are we going to talk about next week, Dan?
That Deep Space Nine, and we're gonna talk about Deep Space Nine. We're gonna talk about Deep Space Nine.
Specifically, I was.
We're gonna talk about Deep Space Nine. Oh yeah, we're gonna talk about Deep Space Nine. Oh yeah, right now. Oh yeah, just right. Next week, not okay. Right now.
I'm not gonna ask next week.
We're gonna talk
gonna
about Deep Space Nine.
We're talking about Necessary Evil.
Necessary Evil, Deep Space Nine. Oh yeah, Necessary Evil, Deep Space Nine.
Second season. I'm really looking forward to that.
I love that
episode. It's an excellent episode. Everyone's going to enjoy it. So go check that one out. Necessary Evil.
Do you like when people go, no, 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 yeah, no, no, no? Do you like that?
I could take or leave it.
Because it's like, I'm saying both. Which is it? It's both.
Yeah. So
shut up.
Next week, Necessary Evil. This week was Justice, but that's concluded. If you want to find us on social media at It's Got Star Trek, follow us there. Follow us on YouTube. Follow us on Facebook.
Earlier, I should have played this sound.
Starfleet takes the Prime Directive very seriously.
As I didn't play it.
All right. Well, thank you for playing that. Now we won't miss out on it. So,
what of justice?
YouTube, follow us there. Subscribe to us there. Facebook, Blue Sky, all that business. And you can check out our website at It's Got Star Trek. No, www.itsgotstartrek.com.
I understand.
And one of the main reasons to do that would be to sort by series. So if you just want to hear Next Generation episodes, click on Next Generation. All the podcast episodes in which we discuss the Next Generation, which is already like 26, 27 now.
This is very difficult for me.
Will be listed for you. And finally, if you'd like to give us some money for no particular reason, you can go.
I think I'll pass on that.
Patreon, patreon.com/itsgotstartrek. There's a bunch of free silly nonsense up there. We throw silly nonsense up there all the time. So,
Not any longer.
Thank you very much. A very fun, weird 1980s episode, but we enjoyed talking about it.
You know, and I know I talked like, I gave a lot of like, what, this is ridiculous in this episode, but I did actually kind of like this episode. There's something likable about this.
I kind of
like
this episode.
No, what I meant, like, I liked it. I liked it too. Way I talked about it made it seem like I didn't like it. I did preface this with it was a very silly episode, but there were parts of it that, I mean, I liked it, and there were parts of it that were like kind of that I liked the idea of.
Okay. And you said that at the beginning of the episode.
I know, I did. And now you're just fucking like being like how you're being. All you know? Right. I'm allowed to summate my point of like being like, hey, I thought it was a cool episode. Okay.
Point somebody.
Oh, God. You're doing that thing.
It's got to end the episode.
We don't have to end it like this second.
All right. We'll talk to you again.
Like 30 more seconds is no big deal.
To me, it's a big deal.
Oh, my God. I just think it's fair that I get my point across.
No. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
We've lost contact with our people.
Take us out of here, number one.
Number one.
I want to do something, too, with you.
What?
It's something you can teach me, will you?
Well, actually, there are some games I don't quite know yet.
It's playing ball. Will you teach me?
Oh, sure. If you have a bat for the ball, I can show you my favorite. A bat?